To put it mildly, relations between the U.S. and Israel have become strained during the Obama administration. The strain has been a personal as well as policy issue. With less than a month to go for this administration, this past week saw a new policy and verbal attacks launched at Israel via actions at the United Nations and words by Secretary of State John Kerry. Joining us now to discuss these matters is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, author of the book God, Israel, and Shiloh, Returning to the Land, and he's also founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, David Rubin. Thank you for being here today, David.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
And the website for Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, shilohisraelchildren.org. You'll learn more about the work of that part of David's life. I want to start with the UN resolution, David. It's UN Resolution 2334. And when you look, I guess, statistically, as far as actions of the UN, certainly a resolution against Israel is not uncommon. I believe it's almost like a ratio of 14 to 1 of resolutions against Israel versus resolutions against Syria, Palestinians, and name the terrorist organization of your choice. But I guess maybe something is being glossed over is how this was the first Security Council resolution to pass regarding Israel and Palestine since 2009, and the first to address the issue of Israeli settlements with the specific tone that it did since 1980. How much of this magnitude of the resolution 2334 is being downplayed to the detriment of its true impact?
Well, people have been asking me for several years now, how do I explain that on one hand I say that President Obama is the most hostile president towards Israel, certainly since Jimmy Carter and possibly a lot further back. And how do I explain that while at the same time Israel does get an impressive amount of military support from the United States, and even during the Obama administration? And the answer to that is very simple. President Obama doesn't act on his own. For 8 years, he's been trying to get at Israel, basically. He's been trying to downplay the relationship with Israel, to weaken the relationship with Israel, while at the same time strengthening the relationship with the Islamic world. He stated that very clearly when he came into office, not the part about Israel, but the part about the Islamic world and strengthening America's relations with the Islamic world. And as a result of that, he made it clear that he is opposed to the Israeli consensus of developing Judea and Samaria and building up Eastern Jerusalem and keeping Jerusalem united under Israel's sovereignty. And he's never accepted that. So now, as a lame duck president, he's, you know, clearly on his way out in a few weeks. So now he's free from, you know, it's like the shackles are off, and the gloves are off, and he's prepared to go forward and do whatever he can to hurt Israel before he leaves office.
There are those who are pro-Israel who are dismissive of really any UN resolution because they typically do not see it as something that will be backed up with any means or either diplomatically or administratively. Is that a mistake in this case?
Well, it depends. It really depends on how the Trump administration is going to handle this. If Obama was still in office, then there would be reason to be concerned because a UN resolution can be used as a precedent and as a justification to go to the International Criminal Court to bring up charges against Israel internationally. So that it can be a problem in that respect. I think we need to watch carefully after January 20th and see how Donald Trump and his administration are going to handle this. Because this resolution cannot go unanswered, and I think that Israel should answer it very clearly by declaring sovereignty over at least part of Judea and Samaria as a first step. But I'm not sure what's going to happen. As for the UN, as the UN is concerned, I would say that it would do well if President Trump really wants to respond in a strong way, cut off all funding for that cesspool of hatred, and just tell them, look, you want to exist, you're going to have to change the way you address Israel and the way you persecute Israel at the UN. If you don't want to do that, then we're out. And I think that would be a very bold move by a new president, and it would be a strong statement, which is that business as usual is no longer going to happen.
Talking with David Rubin, who is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, in his book, God, Israel, and Shiloh, Returning to the Land. He's also founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund on the web at shilohisraelchildren.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Going back to the UN resolution, a couple of things stand out among the many. This is a resolution that mentions Israel very specifically, but when it was addressing any form of terrorism against Israel, if you're reading it with paying maybe half attention, it almost sounds like Israel is being included in the mentions of terrorism, because that's how vague in general the terrorist references are.
Oh, sure. And if you listen to John Kerry yesterday, so what you hear is basically a mathematical equation, which is settlements equals terrorism. And that was basically what he said. Actually, what he was saying is that settlements is worse than terrorism. Now, it's ironic because settlements, when he talks about settlements, he's talking only about Jews building in Judea and Samaria. If Arabs build, if Muslims build in Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, in his eyes, it's perfectly okay. No problem. Go ahead. Build as much as you want. Expand as much as you want. But when Jews build in their biblical heartland, in the place where history was made, where the cradle of Judeo-Christian civilization is, if Jews build there, then it's absolutely a problem. You know, now John Kerry likes to claim that he's a big liberal. He, you know, likes to play that role. But liberals are supposed to believe in freedom. Liberals are supposed to believe in people having equal rights. And you can't tell me that I cannot build a home in Judea and Samaria, and that an Arab, a Muslim, can build as many homes as he wants in Judea and Samaria, and they do, and that's okay. There is a serious problem in John Kerry's sense of morality, in his sense of his understanding of American values. I heard him speaking about American values. He doesn't know what American values are. He thinks that American values come from Jane Fonda. The American value system speaks about Judeo-Christian civilization is rooted in the writings of Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, who all understood the importance of Israel in this world. And John Adams, John Quincy Adams, they all spoke about, fondly about Israel and how they would have loved to have seen Israel return to its land in their times. Well, Israel has returned to its land, and it's not leaving. We're here. I'm sitting to you as we speak in the town of Shiloh, where the capital of Israel stood for 369 years before the 1,000 or so years that Jerusalem was the capital. And we're not planning to go anywhere. We're going to continue to build here. We're going to continue to grow. And through my work with the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, which was founded after my three-year-old son and I were wounded in a terrorist attack, we're going to continue to build through the children for the future.
Wrapping up our time with David Rubin, as he mentioned, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, his book, God, Israel, and Shiloh, Returning to the Land, and his aforementioned Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, of which he is the founder and president, Shiloh Children, ShilohIsraelChildren.org. is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I think the best description of John Kerry's speech from the other day was by columnist Charles Krauthammer, who called it a word salad. But one of the standout croutons, I'm wanting to get your reaction to this line from Kerry, was, a state cannot be both Jewish and Democratic.
Well, I don't see why not. You know, Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. It's the only place where everyone has the right to vote, where we elect our own leaders. Mahmoud Abbas, you know, is basically put on the throne of the Palestinian Authority, where he has sat for about 15 years now. There is no freedom in the Arab world, certainly not in the Muslim world, the Arab Muslim world in the Middle East, and only in little Israel. Is there freedom and democracy? Now, there is a particular problem in Judea and Samaria, no question about it. In Judea and Samaria, there is a disputed area, and until there is some determination, which I believe should be Israel declaring sovereignty over it, over all of the areas under its possession, until that point, well, there won't be total democracy, but in Judea and Samaria, but there isn't total democracy for Jews or for Arabs. We don't have the same rights as Jews who live within pre 1967 Israel. All that has to change. And you know, in my book, Peace for Peace, meaning peace for peace as opposed to land for peace. In my book, Peace for Peace, I lay out a very clear plan, which would include Israeli sovereignty over all of Judea and Samaria. It would include rights and a path to citizenship for all the residents of Judea and Samaria. And I think that is the road to peace. Full rights for everybody under Israeli sovereignty. That is the true roadmap to peace that John Kerry should have been speaking about yesterday.
I want to wrap things up here with a couple of points that are presented in generalities, and I think those generalities belay the impact of their specifics. The impression that people like John Kerry and others want to give is that Israel is closed off to Palestinians, and at least by my research, about 1.4 million Muslims, Arabs, are able to work and live in Israel, which that's not a problem, but if a few hundred Jews want to build homes on their homeland, that's where some people have a problem. That's one of those imbalances that people like John Kerry tend to want to miss and pass over.
It's an imbalance, and you know, when John Kerry mentions the difficulty of movement for Arab populations, well, of course you have to have security roadblocks to check people when all of the terrorism has been coming from the Arabs. There aren't Jewish terrorist attacks. There's no organization called Jewish Jihad, and there is no organization called Baptist Jihad. But there is Islamic Jihad, and there is Hamas, and Fatah, and Hezbollah, and Boko Haram, and we could go around the world and look at all the Islamic terrorist organizations, and then we understand. Then we understand what is really happening in Israel, what Israel has been up against for decades, and I think it's time that we change the entire approach. No more two-state solution, no more land for peace. We have to start talking about peace for peace. If they really want peace, they could have had it a long time ago.
And if the other side wants to be honest, a two-state solution is indeed a two-Arab state solution. That is the true wish of that side. And the last clarification I just want to give a last minute to is the UN resolution and those supporting it are specifying the area as, quote, East Jerusalem, again, generic, generality versus specific. Historically and spiritually, what does East Jerusalem mean to the Jewish people?
Well, first of all, we only speak about one Jerusalem. There is only one Jerusalem. It's not a divided city anymore, thank God. But the eastern part of the city is ancient Jerusalem. When we speak about the Western Wall, when we speak about the Temple Mount, where the two holy temples once stood, we are talking about Eastern Jerusalem. That is where it is, in the old city of Jerusalem, the walled city. That is really the cradle of Western civilization, Eastern Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. So anyone who speaks out against freedom of building in Judea and Samaria for the Jewish people, or freedom of building for the Jewish people in Eastern Jerusalem, they're going against the cradle of Western civilization on which the United States was built.
He is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. His books include God, Israel, and Shiloh, Returning to the Land, Peace for Peace, another one of Mr. Rubin's book. He is the founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, ShilohIsraelChildren.org. David Rubin, thank you so much for the education, the honesty, and the facts that people are in dire need of, and you are one of those two providers. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you, Chris.